You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, and I'm Shauna Thompson, your host. Hey, I want to pose a question to you. You know how in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we kind of get raised talking about choices and having agency, and that seems to be kind of, that's the norm. We talk a lot about being here on the earth and making choices. So let me pose a question to you. Have you ever had the opportunity where you had to make a decision, make a choice between two good things? Now, that's a little bit of a different spin. Well, I have some thoughts here from Elder Oaks on that very thing.
Most of us have more things expected of us than we can possibly do. As breadwinners, as parents, as church workers and members, we face many choices on what we will do with our time and other resources. We should begin by recognizing the reality that just because something is good is not a sufficient reason for doing it. The number of good things we can do far exceeds the time available to accomplish them. Some things are better than good, and these are the things that should command priority attention in our lives. We have to forego some good things in order to choose others that are better or best because they develop faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and strengthen our families. It is good to belong to our Father in Heaven's true church, to keep all of His commandments, and to fulfill all of our duties. But if this is to qualify as best, it should be done with love and without arrogance. We should, as we sing in a great hymn, crown our good with brotherhood, showing love and concern for all whom our lives affect.
Now, I personally am a yes man. I will say yes to anything you ask me to do. I just want to please. I want to make people happy. And I will completely load down my life to accommodate you. Okay. That is the way that I am hardwired. And my husband finds this to be a great source of frustration because what ends up happening is I choose all these good things and I say yes to do all these things. Like I'm in a pianist, so I love to accompany people. So I'll accompany any musical number you ask me. I'll go speak to people. I will come and I will do anything really basically that you ask me to do within reason. And it's gotten me into a lot of trouble over the years with myself, where I'm so overloaded, I'm so stressed out, and I am so difficult to live with. And I'm not a fun person when I have chosen all these good things so that every second of my time is taken up with something that I couldn't say no to. So I love this quote by Elder Oaks because it actually gives me permission to weigh my options and to say no when I really need to. This has been a valuable life lesson for me over the years, to learn that no is not a bad word, that I can really weigh my options, decide what is best for me and my family, and then say no to the other things. Even though they may be good and tempting and awesome, I can say no and keep my life in balance so that I'm good for everybody else I have to take care of. Really, ask my husband. I'm not so pleasant to be around when I'm overloaded. And I bet you aren't either, right? And I think we've all probably been in that situation where we just want to please and say yes, when really we need to maybe step back, take a breath, and say no. I remember once watching Oprah Winfrey, and they were talking about this very thing, about saying yes all the time. And she said, when you say no to someone, you don't have to give an explanation, which is what I think especially women want to do, is they want to justify why they said it so that they can calm fears and soothe hurt feelings and stuff. When really she just said, just say no and don't give a reason. Just say no, respectfully decline, and move on. You don't need to give a reason for everything. So there you go. Oprah gave us permission. There you go. So we got this little email from Marcia. She's a listener to the Mormon Channel. And she says that she listens to this station 2 to 4 hours a day. Wow. Marcia, you need to get some kind of award for this. She says, I listen to the conference talks. And she says, this has helped me with my attitude about being better. And so we're just so happy, Marcia, that you're doing this, that you're listening to our current leaders, that you like our fireside talks and other discussions. She just says that we're making a huge difference to her. And boy, you know what? That's all we need to hear. You're very kind, and we thank you for your comment. Well, Elder Oaks, if you want to listen to this talk, the rest of it, you can download it, actually, and you can create your own playlist. Did you know this? You know, this isn't just about music, but you can go and create your own playlist of your favorite podcasts as well. So, you know, make this talk from Elder Oaks one of those, because he's just awesome. Well, I was pondering and thinking about maybe an experience in my life where I've said no between two good things, and my husband and I were kind of giggling about it. I was kind of picking his brain, and he said, you know what? It seems like every single time we plan a family vacation, you get the opportunity to either go to a national commercial audition. You get called for that, or you get called to be in like some part in a movie, or you actually get a job that's booked during the time that we already booked out to go on a family vacation. And he said, every single time, I just know it's going to come. You're going to get a call for some kind of job. But I have to tell you that I have learned how to say no. And even though it's hard, and sometimes I think about, ooh, that'd be a really cool opportunity, I have learned over the years to put my family first. Now, I remember one time my family, we all went to Bear Lake, and I got a Subway commercial. It was so much fun, and I drove all the way back from Bear Lake to Salt Lake to shoot this commercial in a day and go back and join my family. And even though that was fun and that was great, it was really harrowing. It was really stressful. And I started thinking about that and thinking, okay, what's the most important thing here? You've taken time out to be with your family, Shauna. Be with your family. Say no to all those other things. There are going to be plenty of other jobs that'll come along, hopefully. Say no to this, because when your family sees that they are first, that they take precedent over everything else, they are going to learn to do it themselves someday. And so that has become a real priority to me, to make sure that our family vacations stay our family vacations and mom doesn't take off somewhere. But I have this story to end with that is on a much more spiritual tone and really outshines my story. But it's so lovely. It's a story that President Monson told. It was called The Violin. And he talks about how this was way back in the New Era. This was an article in the New Era in 1974. And it talks about this young man named Benjamin Landart, who in 1888, when he was 15 years old, he had already become an accomplished violinist. And he was living on a farm with his mother in northern Utah, and he had seven brothers and sisters. And sometimes taking care of a farm was really challenging for Benjamin because he just loved his violin so much. That's where he wanted to spend all of his time. And his mother, actually, to get him to do his chores, had to lock up his violin just to get him to finish his chores. That's how dedicated he was to the violin. Well, he, you know, in 1892, Benjamin was asked to travel to Salt Lake City to audition for what was called then the Territorial Orchestra. And this was a dream come true for him. And after several weeks of practicing and saying his prayers, he goes to Salt Lake, he auditions, and the conductor approached him and said, wow, you're the most accomplished violinist that I have heard west of Denver. And I'm sure that was a pretty big rush for Benjamin. And so he said, I want you to report to Denver for rehearsals in the fall. And he also learned that he would be earning enough to keep himself very well and also be able to send the extra home. So he was pretty stoked about this. Well, the week after Benjamin had received this good news, he got a call from his bishop. The bishop called him into his office and he said, I'm going to ask you to put off your playing in the orchestra for a couple of years. And he said, I need you to start earning money because I need you to give what is owed to the Lord, and that is your service on a mission. Well, Benjamin just felt like his chance to play in this Territorial Orchestra was going to go. It was gone. And he was scared, and it was a really, really tough thing to grapple with. And you think about that. It's two good things. It's doing what you love, playing and really perfecting and being in an orchestra, all that hard work paying off. But he knew what his decision should be. And so he promised the bishop that he would find some way to earn the money to serve. And so he approached his mother, and of course she was overjoyed, and she told him that his father had always wanted to serve a mission but had been killed before he had the opportunity to do so. And so they were discussing the financing of this mission, and she just clouded over and said, we don't have any way. We can't sell any more of our land. I don't know what else to do to fund this mission. And Benjamin knew very quickly what it was that he could do. He said that he had something that was of great enough value that it could fund his mission, and that was his violin. So 10 days later, Benjamin wrote in his journal, I awoke this morning and I took my violin from its case, and all day long, I played the music I love, And in the evening, when the light grew dim and I could see no longer to play, I placed the instrument in its case and thought, it'll be enough. Tomorrow, I'll leave for my mission. And, you know, 45 years later, on June 23rd, 1938, Benjamin wrote in his journal, "The greatest decision I ever made in my life was to give up something I dearly loved to the God I loved even more. He has never forgotten me for it." So there you go. If you're facing those dilemmas of choosing between two good things or many good things, realize you can say no to some things. Other good things will come along. Pray to your Heavenly Father and ask Him to help you to prioritize, and you'll know. You'll know what the right choices are. So maybe you've had some experiences like me or like Benjamin. Let me know. And then let me know how the decision paid off. I know how mine does. I felt much closer to my family. And also my head is clear. When I go into that vacation with my family, my head's clear. I don't have to think about anything but just focusing on fun and time with my fam. So let me know how you feel about it. Go to Mormon Channel Daily at LDSChurch.org and share some of your experiences with me on that subject. So we'll go out today with "If I Only Had Today," featuring Hillary Weeks. Have a wonderful day.
It seems like I've watched a million sunsets and stared at a thousand full moons. Sometimes it feels like I've been here forever, and sometimes it all feels brand new. I could never count the heartbeats from the day I was born until now, but not a single one goes unnoticed by Him who breathes life in me somehow. But if there were no more tomorrow, if I knew that I could not stay, I know how I'd spend every minute if I only had today. I'd hold you and listen, and I'd let the dishes sit in the sink. I'd tell you I love you. As you quietly sleep, I pray for time to move slowly, knowing the moment won't keep all the gifts that heaven has given, every blessing that's come my way wouldn't mean anything without you. So if I only had